Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Jennifer Morgan out of Killeen, Texas, and we can't wait to hear her story. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, let's start at the beginning like we do with everybody. What in your life happened that made you start looking for other alternative investments types and or retirement plans?
I've been in IT for quite some time, and I had actually spoken to another member, and he's like, this is the way to go. You got to go this way. You got to go rentals. You got to buy your time back. And I'm like, okay, so I'm working in multiple jobs by choice, you know, no, just staying busy. And multiple conversations with him. And then he's like, all right, just come to a meeting with me. Let's just go together. So we went to a case study one evening, and I'm like, okay, this has got to be it. I had one rental property that I just purchased on a whim and really didn't do anything with it, didn't know what to do next. And so after seeing that, I'm like, all right, this is it. There's more to be had here, and I can expand on this business that I already started and didn't do anything with. So
I'm going to dig a little deeper on that. What does your husband do for a living at the time?
So he was working for what are those people called? The home warranty companies. And he was doing appliances for the home warranty companies.
Gotcha.
When we first got started.
All right. So this friend, you know, started talking to you about it. I assume that he started talking to you about it because you had bought something. So there was a common interest conversation type of a thing?
Correct. Yes.
I don't want people to think that my members are just leaping out at people.
Chasing after them. You got to do this. Hurry.
You got to do this.
Almost. I had just purchased it. Yeah. I had purchased that one investment property. And then I'm like, I don't really know what to do from it from the air. But I heard he had rental property. So, yeah, I started that conversation with him about, like, okay, well, then how did you grow yours? If, you know, I have this one, how do you expand on that?
Okay. So it was a factual, detailed type conversation. Was there... Okay, I don't want to put words in your mouth. That's unsanitary.
Sure.
But let's talk about the transition of, okay, where did you get the idea you wanted to buy a rent house in the first place? And then why did you not attack it and jump all over it?
Sure. So my husband and I were moving in together. So we were getting married, and I had a house previously, or I had my own house, and I sold that house. And then we were going to buy a house that could use some fixing up, have a super cheap mortgage so we could, you know, live life, do whatever we wanted to do. And then at the same time, my mom has lived in a duplex for like 35 years. And the owner was now in his 90s, and he was offering to sell the properties to the tenants. But if the tenants didn't want it, then he was going to put it up for sale. So I talked to the property manager, and I said, hey, if there's tenants that don't want their place, then let me know, and I would be interested in buying one. So it was kind of an off-market deal, something that she helped with. And even once I purchased it, she, and I say I because my husband really wasn't on board yet. He wasn't ready. He's like, no, I don't think we should do that. I kind of jumped into it anyway. But so the property manager actually helped run it for quite some time. And so I was really hands off. She collected the rent for me at no charge, you know, because I had just known her my whole life. And so I didn't really know what to do or where to go from there. You know, I didn't have any knowledge on even collecting the rent, really, type thing. So
that makes sense. I do have a question, though. Did you buy the duplex your mother lived in or something else?
No, I bought a different one. It was like, it's a whole street of duplexes, so I bought somebody else's, essentially. So, inherited some tenants.
Who bought the one that your mother was living in?
She finally, after 30 years, purchased it herself.
Well, there you go. That's a wonderful thing. The reason I ask is that at one time I bought, what was it? I bought 5 duplexes in a row on one street. And then I liked it so much, I went out and bought 15 duplexes on one street. But it was actually a cul-de-sac. So you drive into the cul-de-sac and there was 15 duplexes all the way around this thing. It was really a beautiful, you know, thing to own. So that's a good start. And so now here's the tricky part of the question. Actually, it's not trick, but it's where you have to think about it. As you came to Lifestyles, I don't know what event you came to first, but whatever event you came to, what type of aha moments did you have that said, wow, this could be something?
I think it was definitely the financing, because I jumped into the, 20% down for every investment property. And like, how can you possibly, grow super fast? And after hearing a lot of your story, I'm like, well, I can't understand how that happens and how you can just grow so quickly with having to put down 20% on everything. So a lot of it was just the knowledge of different financing options. Because again, coming to the class, you just learned that there's capabilities out there, but like how to implement. And so that was the big thing for me, was that financing piece. And like, okay, you don't have to have, $1 million in order to go buy all these investment properties. There's a way to do things differently.
Okay. So then you decided that you could, now you saw a pathway. And what was your next step? Did you come out and buy a single family house, a duplex? What did you do next?
Yeah, it was single family. And it was actually, we did a house hacking. So for anybody that doesn't know, basically we bought a house again super cheap. And I'm like, well, once we did some renovations, I'm like, well, why don't we just rent this thing and get something else that we really want to be in? And so that's what we did. So we house hacked our first house, and then the market just blew up. So we ended up refinancing maybe the handful of properties that we had at that point. And, just into the next few after that.
I never heard the term house hacking. That's got to be a localized theory or statement. But
so I guess some people do that. We did the renovations while we were living there. That's obviously not the most fun thing to do, but that's what we did. We renovated while we lived there. It's just the two of us. We don't have any kids or anything. So, we could live in one part of the house and then do renovations in the other type of thing. But so we lived there for a year, and then once that year was up, we rented it out.
I did that once. And then now I'm going to ask, is your husband like to build things? Because I did it because I wanted an excuse to buy tools, and I took a home that was about a $140,000 home, and I put crown molding and columns and fluting and all kinds of, over-the-top cabinetry and stuff in it. And I think I sold it. I had bought it for like $140,000. Now you have to understand back that today the house would be worth $350,000 or $400,000. But back then, a long time ago. And so it went from like $140,000 up to, I think I sold it for $180,000. But I lived there while I did it. And when I was single living there doing it, it was fine. And then I got married and moved my wife in, and that was, from that point on, it was miserable, So living in all that mess, I thought it was fun getting up and playing, and whatever time I had free, I could build something new in there. But it never got done. That's the problem about building stuff. It just never gets done. I want to ask you another one. When you came out of the 2-day seminar, I assume you took the 2-day seminar, what were the aha moments there? I know you said financing was one of them. Was there anything else?
Definitely I would say the support as well, that there's answers out there versus just leaning on myself to try to find all those answers. So really the education that comes from that, you have the 2-day seminar that gives a lot of information, but at the same time, you're like purchasing your first property, like, okay, great, I did it. Like I said, my first duplex that I purchased, I'm like, I did it. And then I'm like, I don't have any idea what to do from here. Luckily, I had a property manager that was willing to help me, but I didn't know what to do from there, even how to collect the rent, So that education, definitely having that additional information. Okay, here's the next step, and then here's the next step, that's crucial.
Okay. I think that this question is warranted from listening to your story. And again, I hope I'm not putting something into your story that's not there, but it sounds like you drug your husband to this thing kicking and fighting. since everything is I did this and I did that and I bought this and I learned this and I didn't hear anything about the husband so far. And it's not that a woman can't do it. I see many women, you know, that fit into it very quickly. But the question is I'm asking for all the other women out there that had to have to drag their husbands into this, you know, kicking and fighting the whole way. Where did he start to wear down and be a believer? Or did he ever?
He is for sure. I think it was finally the, like, sitting down and going over the numbers. You know, like, here's what we've accomplished. Here's what we're making every month. Here's our net worth up to this point. And then, again, breaking it down every time. Okay, and then here's how much this is, and here's how much all those things are, and actually seeing the numbers. And I was like, okay, so this is working. It's working. So versus just a labor of love, and you're like, okay, maybe one day we'll recognize those gains and things like that, but actually seeing the numbers monthly, and again, yeah, that net worth is huge as well.
Okay. And how many houses in were you at this point?
I would say probably around five. He finally started to come around a little bit. Like, okay, I can see it, you know. And then he's a real people person. He really loves conversation, and he's an extrovert. So talking to the tenants, realizing the impact that we can make on our tenants by having not only a quality product to present to them, but like when they call, we're there. You know, we're there to fix, we're there, he's there to fix, he's there to help. He, you know, gets to say, hey, yeah, I really care that there's a problem, and we're going to get right on it, and we're going to assist you in this. Because I think that's a huge thing about a lot of property management companies. Most of the time when I call, nobody answers the phone. There's no customer service to come out quickly, like put in your ticket, and then we'll be with you when we be with you. So really having that hands-on is something I think he really enjoys, you know, being a part of our tenants' lives, getting to know them, that type of thing.
So he enjoys the concept of best product, best price?
Definitely, yeah.
And the abundance mentality and the fact that if you help enough other people in this world get what they need, then you can have whatever you want. So he likes the social part of it. That's good. You like the numbers part of it. Both of those work well as a team together. How many deals were you in before you let the other property manager go, or did you?
I did. She ended up retiring, but even before that, I could see that she wasn't in a position, I don't know if it was a position, or she just wasn't the type, because she had been in it for so long, I think, that she wasn't keeping up with price increases. So she was charging like $500 a month for a two-bedroom. Now, this was in 2018, 19. She was charging $500 for a two-bedroom, one bathroom, and the market was calling for like $750. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to have to take over, because there's more benefit to be reached here. You know, we can get in there and do renovations and make this a better product, and then get max income by presenting a better product, because she hadn't done renovations. If she didn't have to, she definitely didn't. So it was time for me to take over. And again, that was part of the the lifestyles thing. It was like, hey, theirs is a best product, best price. You don't have to just stick with this outdated, you know, do the minimum type thing.
So let's do apples to apples on this particular property you just discussed that went from 500, should have been 750. That's in 2018, and we're now in 2024, about to reach 25. What does that two-bedroom, one bath rent for now?
$1,100.
See, back when I had duplexes, and two-bedroom, one-bath houses, small stuff, it was renting for $500 a month. That's, you know, way back 30 years ago, 35 years ago, that's what it was if you were right on top of the market. So you came in 2018 and was still at $500 a door. That is low.
Were you buying in, like, the Houston area? I know you're supposed to be asking me questions.
Yeah, I was in the Houston area.
Were you in the Houston area or
yes,
all over?
I was in the Houston area.
Yeah.
No, just the Houston area.
Yeah, Killeen's a little bit smaller, so our prices haven't increased as much as the bigger metropolitan areas. But
so as we look at this thing now, Let's talk about your plan, or was there a plan, or did you just blindly fall into how many deals you purchased? Did you say, honey, let's buy one a year, two a year, three a year, or let's buy everything we can get our hands on? How did you and the husband rationalize the plan?
Yeah, I just kind of begged. Put on a sad face. I'm like, hey, there's this deal. It looks really good. What do you think? And it was always, maybe we should take a break. We should probably take a break. And I'm like, okay, well. And so then I would skip one. I'm like, but then there's this other one. He's like, fine, just fine. Not that he wasn't on board, but, you know, it was just there were so many coming across at one time, and they were really excellent deals. So for me, in my mind, it was really hard to pass up, but. We've taken a little bit of a break this year, finally, and working on, you know, selling some of what we do have, and we'll probably get to that. But, you know, looking into.
Well, so far, the picture that I have of you is the little Pac-Man woman.
Yes. Please, may I have another? Please, may I have another?
Chomping up everything there is. Oh, here comes a cherry. Let's grab that one. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with Jennifer Morgan and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments. Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Jennifer Morgan out of Killeen, Texas. And as we come out of the break here, Jennifer, I'd like to ask you about your deal structure. Most of the single family deals that I get excited about have some equity capture in them. Are you obtaining equity capture in your deals?
Absolutely. I was part of a case study for Lifestyles. And so I've got a spreadsheet from that case study, and, you know, rerunning the numbers every year. I haven't always kept up with the equity capture every year, but seeing that earlier this year, I'm like, there is, some deals have like 100,000 in equity capture or more. Actually, some have more. So, yeah, lots of equity capture.
Now, let's stay with that for a second, because you just kind of threw me for a loop here. It's interesting for me to have someone tell me, yeah, it's 100,000. Yeah, some of them more. It's so nonchalant.
No biggie.
I think people out there got to be going, look, I bought a house and I didn't make any money, and I, you know, worked my butt off, blah, 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 blah. But you made an upfront instant equity capture, or just money earned because you bought it at the right price and terms, you know, this over $100,000. Now, you've done over, I see 20 deals done is what it says here on your resume. Can you give us some kind of idea out there for the people out there? What has that meant as total net worth gain for your family on that 20 deals situation?
1.4, I think it was like 1.475 million.
1.475 million. Now, that's an amazing number in itself. Some people work their entire lives and save. You never could go up with that kind of number. Let's ask a secondary question on this. What kind of cash flow is coming out of this?
$75,000 a year, I believe, is what we calculated for the case study.
All right. Now, if you got $74,000, $75,000 a year, that's, if done correctly, covered by depreciation. Are you covering
Correct.
It with depreciation?
Yes, so I'm actually getting money back on my I'm getting back money on my taxes because I have so much depreciation, or we have so much depreciation on the tax return that we're actually getting money back on our taxes.
And because you are also operating your own properties, which makes you a real estate professional, you can use that extra depreciation, excess depreciation, to cover some of your earned income, can you not?
Absolutely.
Wow. Yep.
So that's with beautiful. Me earning an income and like a W-2 job. Again, my husband's working for essentially our business now, but I have a W-2 job. And that's with the earnings that we're getting from the properties. We're still getting a return, and a large return.
So I'm going to pull out this trusty phone calculator. Who knows if these things really work? But I'm going to take $75,000 and say, that's 70% of some number, right? It's even more than that. I'll tell you why. Self-employed income, meaning you'd have to pay both the Social Security and the Medicare, would be 15%.
Mm.
And if he was doing his own self-employed business, boom, he'd get hit with that, plus the income tax. So it's really more like 45%. So if we take 75,000 divided by, and my calculator said, I don't even understand that, divided by 0.55% is $136,000. In other words, the $74,000. Is equivalent to your husband working at his own business making $136,000 because of you not paying income taxes or the combined Social Security and Medicare you'd have to pay if you were self-employed. That's an amazing number right there. That's a pretty good gig. What does he work? How many hours a day, a month, a week? What do you see him? Is he one of these I can't get him out of the house guys, or is he always busy? Or what?
I mean, he's a love to work kind of guy, but like right now his dad had surgery, so he's in Seattle with his dad for 2 weeks. And you know, his dad said, I'm going to have surgery on my shoulder, and he's like, don't worry, I'll be there. Didn't even have to ask because he's got that freedom to be able to do that, and you don't have to ask job, you know, for the next day. Like, hey, next day I need to leave for 2 weeks, and they're like, no, we need some notice. I don't have to do that. You can just
a wonderful side benefit. There's no doubt. No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at if we can run some numbers, or if you've got your spreadsheet in front of you, on your cash flow compared to your down payments. Now, you said you made $1.475 million. What out-of-pocket money did you invest to make that? Do you have that there in your spreadsheet?
I'd say on average we were about to give you exact numbers, we're about $7,000 out of pocket up front for each property. But most of the time when we did our refinance to, you know, because we had hard money, and then when we refinanced into a regular conventional loan, most of the time the deals were so good, we were getting money back at closing. So like sometimes $2,000 they were returning to us at closing. So if you say like an average of, you know, $5,000 to $6,000 per deal that we were putting down for each one.
So what has grabbed your attention, Jen, that makes you want to take a little backward look at this and figure out where you're going? How are you cleaning up your portfolio? What are you doing?
Yep. So we are selling properties, and mainly to get into more passive deals. The person who introduced me to Lifestyles has since retired himself and his wife, and they are traveling the country, you know, in their RV and just living the dream all on passive income. So I think maybe if they still have one rental property, it may be like one or two, and everything else is passive income, getting into multifamily deals passively and just letting somebody else run those things, and they just get to live off the income.
Well, since you've gone and made the large capital gains, you can go ahead and redeploy and hopefully continue to grow your net worth. So we want to look at the social aspects of it a little bit here. I see where you're going over to the completely passive side. That makes sense. That's where I'm at, completely passive. It's the end-all, be-all for once you have enough money to do it. The next question then is, by the way, I didn't ask you, do you have any children?
No children.
No children? Okay, well, that makes that easy.
Yeah.
Let's talk then about the family members. You get two sides of every family. What do they think? Are you crazy? Do they think you were crazy? Are they now believers? What do you got in that?
I think they definitely think that we're crazy. My mom is a budget analyst, so like as far as debt is concerned, you cannot have any debt. All debt is bad. And I'm like, that's definitely something I've learned differently through this program is that not all debt is bad, obviously. And then his parents actually just retired this year. So I think maybe they might see things a little bit differently, being retired and having a little bit more, like, what are we going to do with our income or, you know, our savings, things like that. Possibly, hopefully, but still the same thing, you know, like this, it's just going to crash. Everything's just going to fall down around you. And okay. Hope to change their mind at some point.
So, but I don't know. Massive support coming from the exterior family.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a different generation. That's the generation I grew up in. And those people are very conservative. And they don't see it. Everything was about slumlords and something for nothing, instantaneously, gratificationally diseased, midnight madness, educational seminars on TV. And that's what they think of real estate. I totally believe that. And maybe back then that's what it really was. But now the system we have here is completely different. It's a tried and true 34-year program of us moving thousands of people from middle class to upper middle class, and some of them even up into high class, you know, as far as money. That's not, money doesn't make you classier. Take it from me. I just know that for a fact. But the bottom line is, right. It does make it easier to act like you're classier, or at least you can say I am. Nobody will argue with you. So, yeah. All right, so that's good. Do you see travel in your future?
Absolutely. Yeah, we travel quite a bit, actually, even now. And so, again, having that freedom from the no job is even better, you know, that we can take those cruises, those, you know, 2-week long cruises and just say, hey, we're leaving. That's it. And that you don't have to ask anybody for permission. So I'm really looking forward to that more, again, passive lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't talk about work. What did your husband's friends and acquaintances at work think when he said, I'm going to go over here and just do this thing on the side?
Yeah, so it's like you're already a business owner, so, you know, you don't need to go into another business, I think, type thing. And then the same thing, you know, everything has a risk. You know, it's always this risk, this risk, this risk. So, and then diving full into, you call it this risk, you know, the real estate risk, then there is still the same thing, you know, that it's just too risky. You probably shouldn't do it. You need to have something going on, you know, that W-2 type income. So again, yeah, massive support all the way around from everybody.
Did he keep any part of his appliance business or not?
He still does that, but not for the home warranty company. So, you know, he still has got that knowledge. And honestly, since getting into lifestyles, we find a lot of people that want to invest in the clean area, but not many people live here like we do. So it's really been helpful that we can help them as well. You know, a lot of his, we'll call it like his side business type stuff, is mostly with investors that we've that have found us through lifestyles, or that we've been able to help through lifestyles, like gaining knowledge and about the area. And again, he can help do work here and there for them and be somebody local if they need something.
Do you guys have the opportunity to do any health and fitness stuff at all?
Well, I used to be a bodybuilder. Got a degree in naturopathic medicine. And big into that natural health type lifestyle.
Well, there you go. You've got it all. You've got the health, the wealth, right? The fitness.
Yeah, absolutely.
The family. You got it all. I really enjoy your story. I appreciate you coming and doing a case study for us, and I appreciate you coming on to the radio show. The rest of you out there, Jennifer Morgan, success story. We're waiting for yours. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.